Welcome to Bevington Banter, the show where we can sound like we're arguing even when we all agree. I'm Cassidy, and together with my brother Cade and dad Randy, each week we discuss a selection of news stories, topics surrounding the culture, and matters of freedom and faith. Thanks for listening. Follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Share it, and if you like what you hear, rate it 5 stars on Apple and Spotify. Breaking news. Maybe an hour ago. We're recording this on Thursday afternoon, evening, depending on what time zone you're in. Breaking news alert, Joe Biden falls at Air Force graduation.
Yeah, I didn't see that there was any reason for him to fall other than he just fell over.
Cole said he's watching, he's like, it looks like he kind of pointed to something.
He did, but I think that that's just an excuse. It just was a flat,
I mean,
they're on the stage and there's just
a wire from his, what's the thing he reads off the teleprompter?
Yeah.
And they probably had it like covered up with carpets or something, but I don't know.
The thing that was most significant to me about it was that I did just get done watching it and listening to it. When he falls, they're kind of applauding, but when he falls, mm-hmm. they clap louder. Seriously, listen to it.
If that was an old woman, if he were however old he is and a woman, that'd be a broken hip.
Yeah. Yeah. With osteoporosis.
Yep.
But, and I just was watching a little bit too, is that he's apparently, I know he's not really done any campaigning up until now or so far. And apparently it's his plan not to really campaign and not debate. And I mean, I don't know of any president even that's, you know, okay, so they're in office and they're running for a second term, but they still campaign and they still participate in debates, and apparently it is his plan, at least that's what's being reported, that he's not going to do that. I mean, where does that make your mind immediately go?
Well, he's not capable.
No, that's not where it makes my mind go.
Oh,
I mean, he doesn't need to.
They think they don't need to,
because they
But I did even see on the news, I don't know if it's yesterday or today, but I only ever see those like big media channels when I'm at the gym, and they were playing a video of actor James Vanderbeek.
Yeah.
He was dissing the DNC for their plan to not have Biden debate or anything.
Yeah, I watched that last night on Twitter. Yeah, it makes my mind go to think that he doesn't need to, because they've got the system in place to get him elected. So I don't know how that works out. You got to get through the primaries, though. You've got to get him, to get the delegates. What do you call them? He's got to get the primary votes. What do you call them? Why am I drawing a blank?
That's what they're
called. Delegates.
Yeah.
So, to win the nomination. And so how will they rig? I don't think that in a straight up match, you know, we talked about it last week. I don't think in a straight up match he can beat Robert Kennedy Jr.
Yeah, I hope they have they have like the Republican debate, and then they're going to like, they have the plans for a Democratic candidate debate. And since it's only RFK Jr., they just like give him the time to just talk, like answer questions.
He could do like a town hall.
Yeah.
But the DNC's not going to sponsor that if they don't want him to be the nominee.
No.
He'd have to go out and purchase that on his own. So that's one. You look at all these people getting into the race now. Apparently, Chris Christie is going to announce next Tuesday.
Why? Why do these people?
Well, it is.
What does this do for them?
It is the theory that I heard put forth. He is there simply to attack Trump.
That's funny, because I was literally thinking this yesterday or this morning about how, like, why do we have all these other people? If you see that, you know, DeSantis' support is so much behind Trump's, that these other people, and he's, you know, by far the second favorite, these other people have absolutely no chance where they're there. And I thought the only benefit would be for them to be there. And then, right, because if they pulled out, all the support could go to, you know, one other person. But since DeSantis can't really just attack Trump, because he kind of needs to win over some of those Trumpy people, that the benefit of another person would be if somebody came in purely to tear down Trump and then pull out to win those people away from him and then pull out, so those people would then vote for DeSantis.
Yeah, that's
but
why. There,
but then I also thought, but there's nobody currently in the race that fits that persona.
Yeah, but Trump does like all these other people in the race because they're watering down the DeSantis support more than they water down his support.
I know. These people have to get out early.
Yeah. So.
But somebody in there to go after Trump is not a bad thing.
And I know the thing that makes me nervous, though, is that I think that they are they going to support Trump? I mean, are they making Trump stronger because they think that if he's the nominee, he can't beat Biden? That's I mean, if you don't think he can beat Biden, then you want Trump to be the nominee. I mean, if you're a lefty,
the left.
Yeah.
Yeah. And isn't that what the polling shows?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, and now it makes sense, too, that they're more scared of DeSantis because the stories are now coming out about how DeSantis is worse than Trump.
I keep seeing this ad on Fox News at the gym. It's like a old McDonald Had a Farm song, yeah, but it's Ron DeSantis and the sales tax.
Yeah.
He wants to tax you. And they're saying he would make this huge like sales tax hike. But wouldn't it to replace the current system?
Yes.
But it doesn't say, like, it eliminates all the other taxes.
Right, it doesn't say it gets rid of, this is in
yes,
place of the current income tax system.
It just makes it sound like he's raising
taxes.
Exactly. That's so stupid.
It is. There's so much of this stuff. He's being attacked with a lot of different accusations now, which are just total BS. And that's one of them. When they say he's not saying add this huge sales tax on top of the income tax system. He's saying replace the income tax with what we would call a value-added tax. You go and you pay tax on what you go out and purchase, and that's it. So you can determine to some extent how much your taxes you pay. If you're a big purchaser and you're spending money all over the place, then you pay tax on what you buy, and if you don't, then you don't pay as much tax. I mean, I like it better than our current system. I would take that. I would take a sales tax system or a flat tax system, either one, I mean, over what we've got. This is tie this into the debt ceiling debate that they just had, and they voted on this bill and they passed it last night.
Yeah. After I did send a message to my congressperson, my representative, yesterday, but I did write in there, like, hopefully you see this before the vote, but I knew I was sending it, like, early afternoon, and they were voting that night, and then telling him to vote no, and then I got an email later the night that was like, Mark Amadei votes yes, and he's all proud of it, and yeah.
Yeah, they...
He's not terrible, but he's, yeah.
It's, the, when you think about this, talking about taxes and the amount of money that goes into the government and then they turn around and spend it and they need more. Supposedly a part of this bill was that they're hoping to get a 1% decrease in the planned increase.
Yeah. And yeah, we're just going to increase it less.
Right.
The budget.
But that increase 1% increase,
this
did
is
you
wild.
Hear this?
Yes.
That 1% increase is more money than Calvin Coolidge cutting the budget in half by 50% two consecutive years. Well, in actual dollar value, this 1% cut is more dollars than a 50% cut 2 years in a row by Calvin Coolidge. That gives you some idea how much money goes into the government and then they spend. And even that's not enough money that goes into them because we have almost $32 trillion deficit.
Was it Glenn Beck today talking about the military-industrial complex?
I haven't listened to Glenn Beck.
Oh, all the spending. Oh, I just...
Well, I did hear where it was... I forget how long ago it was, but like some type of missile was like $40,000.
Yeah, I thought they were saying standard missile, but then it sounded like something else that's more like... Because standard missile is a system I worked on, and it didn't sound... I don't know what I was hearing.
Was it Stinger missile?
Yes,
maybe
that's
they're saying
it. Stinger
missile.
Missiles.
So, do you remember the exact numbers?
I don't know, but the cost of it has gone like skyrocketed, and basically that these companies are price gouging the U.S. government,
right?
And so the huge portion of our budget is going to the military and defense, but it's not going to soldiers who are like who they told them a while back. Do you remember when they said go on food stamps?
Yeah.
No, it's going to these companies that are, charging exorbitant amounts for these
Yeah, I think that they said something like when that missile was first introduced, it was costing like either $24,000 or $40,000 a missile, and now it's costing, it's either, those numbers are like $240,000 or $400,000 per missile. Well, usually as technology, you know, they've been, you know,
usually they get cheaper.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. It doesn't increase by tenfold.
Yeah.
What's the line from Independence Day? How they get money to fund all these black ops? You don't think they really pay, what's he say?
Oh, yeah.
So many $1,000 for a hammer. Yeah. Do you?
For a toilet seat.
Yeah.
One of them is, he says, you don't think they really spend whatever dollars for a toilet seat.
Yeah. So, and that might be that might be true. So, there's a lot of people that are really upset with, McCarthy was saying, and he was given this excuse, well, we were only allowed to look at 11% of the budget. And somebody asked him, you know, as far as trying to work out this deal, and they were asking, well, why? He said, well, President Biden walled off the other part.
How's that okay?
Yeah, well, that's not even a thing, because you are the Congress.
Congress holds the purse strings.
Exactly. You have the right to, well, it's your job to set the budget and review all spending and either approve it or don't approve it.
That's in the Constitution.
But here's the question. When somebody says something that absurd, why don't we hold them accountable?
Well, the Freedom Caucus was speaking a lot before the vote about how this is against the agreement that they made with McCarthy to become the speaker, and how they're going to have to, you know, look into him. He would need to vacate.
Right. Well, if I understood right.
Depending on how the vote went, I think. Depending on how many people said no.
Well, the deal was, if a bill passed with more Democrat votes than Republican votes, that was an automatic vacate his seat, his position. Oh. And that is exactly what happened.
That happened.
So So is it going to actually happen? Is he gone? I don't think so. I haven't heard anybody say, well, he's now automatically removed.
Yeah, but they're going to have to say something or do something, because they were talking about it beforehand.
Yeah, I hope so.
I don't know.
I hope so. I just don't know how long we can continue on down this path.
Did you hear about this RAINS Act?
Yes.
That a congresswoman from Florida, Kat Kamik,
yes,
wanted to bring up? I mean, there's no way this would ever go anywhere, but
supposedly
at least somebody is
supposed to come up for a vote. It was supposed to be. Was a part of the bill that Congress already had passed, because the Congress had come up with a bill. What was it? Save, grow, whatever.
Grow. Yeah, the Limit, Save, Grow Act.
So that was their solution. That was their answer for the upcoming debt ceiling. So basically, McCarthy then threw that one out and agreed to what they had negotiated with Biden. Well, part of that one that they had already passed, it contained the RAINS Act in it, which was bureaucracies, different agencies, they can't just go spend a bunch of money with Congress has to approve it.
Yeah, and they came up with the name RAINS Act, which stands for something else, right? But to rein in executive overreach.
And that would be great. That would be along with the Chevron deference.
Yes.
That RAINS Act and Chevron's deference, if it does get shot down by the Supreme Court, would go miles and miles to helping. Because right now, bureaucracies act like their own legislatures, and they're not. They are not supposed to have legislative power, but they do. And that needs to be changed. So I heard another great idea the other day, too, is like, if these congressmen had to work from their own districts, not spend all of their time in Washington, D.C., but they had to work from their district where people can come by their office and say, don't you dare pass this. It would go a long, long way to changing how they act and things they vote. So I like that idea, but I'm not going to hold my breath that any of this kind of stuff is going to happen. So we didn't mention that Cade has been out of commission. He was really sick. And
he's
then
sick
got,
a lot.
Well, you know what? He spent like all day for like 2 days outside in the sun. And I think it was a reaction to that. It's been hot. It's 90 degrees here today at least. So and he's got a bunch of work now because we got to get everything done for him to be gone. So one of the things I heard this week that really got me fired up was I heard, and I think it might have been James Lindsay. I heard him a few times this week. He might have been the one talking about this. I'm pretty sure it was. I like him. He's a smart guy. Christian nationalism.
Yeah, that was James Lindsay.
Is going to be, you know, they're trying to make it a thing to where basically I think it's going to be, they want to make it synonymous with what they call white supremacy. But that they want to get a reaction from the Christian community along the lines of like a January 6th thing where they can come in and slam down on churches. And there's a lot of varying opinions about Christian, you know, I hear people discussing, is Christian nationalism good? Is it bad? You know, what is it? What's the proper form of it? All this, you know, our founding and Christianity and how they tie together and all this kind of stuff. I do agree that I think they're trying to make it synonymous with white supremacy. And I think that they would love to see some kind of action on Christians' part so that they can start cracking down, arresting, closing churches. And then, you know, he said his theory is, and he goes, I'm not Christian, but this is my concern and what I see. He said, I think that they would like to then begin to shut down churches and then begin to open up basically some government approved churches. You know, you do it the way that they want you to.
This sounds familiar.
Yeah. But here's my thing. As a Christian and as a constitutionalist, and I've said this many times, I am always concerned, you know, we live in the heartland, the Midwest, where there is a real conflation, what I see, of patriotism being like having some equivalency to Christianity. And I've always said that bothers me. It is not the same thing. And I'm thinking about doing a message on this, preaching and teaching on this. There is, Christianity has no hyphens. There's no hyphenated Christianity. There's Christianity, period. So don't fall into this trap of Christian nationalism, because you can be a Christian for sure, and you can believe that we have a Christian founding to this nation, and, you know, with the ideas and principles, and they're manifest in our Constitution, but they're not equivalent. I mean, I'm a Christian first and foremost, and that I'm not patriotic because I'm Christian. I'm patriotic because I believe that our Constitution is an amazing document. Do I think that the founders had deist beliefs in their formation of the Constitution? Yes, but it's not. Don't fall into that trap of allowing Christianity. If you're a Christian, do not fall into the trap of letting anybody hyphenate Christianity. Does that make sense?
Now, by, just for clarification, by Christian nationalist, what they are implying is that you want a theocracy, essentially?
Yes, that you're basically some level of force or manipulation or, you know, just demanding,
right,
that,
which
that
is
you
completely
have to be
antithetical to the Christian faith.
Right. Yes, you can't mandate Christianity.
Yeah.
The Christians are made one person at a time on an individual belief, period. So that's why I just have this problem. I mean, my Christianity does not motivate my patriotism. My patriotism is motivated by the fact that I think the Constitution is amazing. I think it's done well for us as a nation. And if we are unhappy with certain things in it, there is a built-in system on how to go about changing it. But until that system is followed and that change occurs, then we live by the Constitution. That is separate from my Christian faith.
Yes.
So it is surprising to me how many more and more I hear people talking about faith and that what we're going through, you know, just is a battle of good and evil. People that you would not expect. I listen to...
I mean, like, people without faith.
Yeah, people that you wouldn't think really? Of, or they haven't been, yeah. Or it's new. Like, I heard Adam Curry being interviewed. Megyn Kelly was talking to him. And he said, and I had heard this, he's just become a Christian, like, within just the last maybe a little over a year.
Wait, was he on Glenn Beck's Saturday?
Yes, he was on it. Yeah. He was on his podcast. Yep. And I think that he had him on a show real briefly too, but that he just became a Christian when he saw that this was what's going on. He said is evil, and if there's evil, then there has to be good. And he said and now he's plugged into a church. It sounds like he's got a really good teaching pastor because he's pretty knowledgeable for what he's espousing.
Well, I think that was in his exploration of coming to faith. He's a guy that's very, you know, analytical, going to look at some deep theology.
Yeah. So, and he was talking about how he starts off every morning by just praying that God would fill him with the Holy Spirit, you know, fresh and let it splash about. And Megyn Kelly was saying the same thing about, you know, what I was saying about how their priest gave this good little homily about to the kids about, you know, how to be, what it an example of being filled with the Holy Spirit and how great she thought that was. And you don't hear these people talking like this. And when you talk about the Holy Spirit, that's another whole, now we're not just talking about God. Everybody can talk about God.
Right. A lot of people believe in God or God or
Right. So I find that encouraging. I actually I'm a little bit encouraged on the social cultural front of our country. You see, Target has lost $12 billion in their value. Yes. I mean, Budweiser continues to struggle with, like, they've lost almost 30%.
Even Dodger games are a little thinner.
Yeah, well, their attendance was down, and they said that yesterday's game you could get a ticket for $9.
Yep. However, I feel like maybe we're in a catch-22 with this one, because I also heard a clip played of someone talking about the ESG thing and the CEI and this wokeism as a tool to basically get us to defeat ourselves or destroy ourselves, because essentially taking all these independent would have been seen as like Americana, you know, American
brands.
companies, and forcing them to do these things that will then end up ruining them from a standpoint of their business and like the American people canceling them, and then them it being their demise, and then the rise of these other industries or other companies, whether foreign or some kind of state-owned, partially state-owned situation, and that it's getting us to destroy our own independent businesses.
Yeah, and economy. I never thought of that one before. I heard that too, and it does make me think. I'm a little bit suspicious that that's a little too 4D chess. I don't know if they're that smart, but maybe they are. I mean, it makes sense with I heard James Lindsay talking about how he said it's not an exact quote, but it's pretty darn close. Wokeism is Marxism redefined to defeat the West, you know, from the inside out, is the point that he's making. And that's pretty good. And he said, and the model is China. And I thought, I think that's pretty right on.
Well, I read an apologetics type book that was equating a lot of these isms, newer isms, whether it be feminism, progressivism, right? Lump it all into wokeism. as basically new forms of Marxism, because you get one class of people to believe they're oppressed and they have to rise up and, you know, overthrow the establishment and the man. So they're all just repackaged Marxism.
Right. Right. But it is a different way about doing it. Marxism has always been dealt with in the purely in the economic realm.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm making an assumption at this point, but I think that James Lindsay was making the point that we are doing it now with the social justice. That's the repackaging, right, to destroy the West. It's not going to be in...
So moving it from economic into,
right, because,
social.
Because there's not enough people in the United States who up until this point have not been economically...
Valid.
Yeah.
But they're destroying the middle class.
They feel... Yeah, right. The middle class has been robust and strong and large. And so that type of economic Marxism was not going, right, to work in the U.S. So it's now being done from the social justice point. And yeah, I mean, that sounds right to me, but that's just my opinion.
Well, you know what about those left-wing extremists and activists? This is actually a study from 2020, but it just started making headlines, that the study found that left-wing extremism is linked to psychopathy and narcissism.
Can you define that?
What do you mean?
Psychopathy and narcissism.
So essentially, these things replace. So according to this principle, individuals with dark personalities, such as high narcissistic and psychopathic traits, are attracted to certain forms of political and social activism, which they can use as a vehicle to satisfy their own ego-focused needs instead of actually aiming at social justice and equality.
Hmm. So they're
essentially, a lot of people don't believe in them, but it's the virtue signaling,
right? Yeah, they feel good about themselves, or they feel empowered, or whatever. But it's for their sake, not for the general, not for the overall.
Right. Yes, it's not sake actually altruistic. Of the cause. Whereas if you look at people motivated by like religious principles, it's more altruistic.
Yeah.
Purposes.
Yeah.
They said, in particular, certain forms of activism might provide them with opportunities for positive self-presentation and displays of moral superiority to gain social status, to dominate others, and to engage in social conflicts and aggression to satisfy their need for thrill-seeking.
Why don't they just go take up an extreme sport?
But, yeah, I guess that doesn't make them morally superior.
That's true. Taking up an extreme sport, though, would actually take effort. It would take actual physical effort.
It's easy. Yeah.
And I see that more and more. And the numbers and the reports are coming out. You hear this is like how we are just decreasing, especially, men, the sperm count. I heard a lady reporting it. You're talking a more than 50% decrease of how many sperm cells per milliliter or whatever it is they measure it by. There's such a loss, less muscle mass, all this kind of stuff. And I mentioned that Mom and I were somewhere the other day, and I'd seen all these young guys, and like, I just am struck by how many young men, even like in their early 20s and stuff, that look like they've never done anything physical in their lives. Not a single thing.
You don't have to in an industrialized,
I guess,
technology-driven world.
Well, I don't have to preach either, but so I do something else instead.
So that would
be an extreme. If you want something extreme, you're not going to go do something physical because you've never done anything physical. You're not going to go challenge yourself that way, I guess. I don't know.
There you go. You're just going to scream and yell.
I guess.
Hey, speaking of preaching, Cade, the only thing he would ever want to preach on, it's really now he has real world examples, because he's mentioned Operation Millstone before, and Operation Millstone is a go in Florida.
Yeah, what is their law?
So, well, there's a lot of caveat. So it's Florida passed a bill allowing for the death penalty for child sexual abusers, and DeSantis has now signed it. However, there's all kinds of, like, there's only when two aggravating factors are evident, like proven, and then in addition to that, it has to be like a unanimous agreement among a certain number of jurors, and then I believe the judge would also have the ability to, if, even if the jurors agreed, the judge could move it, bump it to life. But just the fact that it's allowed.
Do you not? Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm surprised it would be allowed. But at the same time, I've never thought that murder was the only thing that, if you're going to have capital punishment, that was the only thing that qualified for capital punishment. I think that there are certain things like that.
I suppose it's the eye for an eye principle there, but
I think it's just as harmful and destructive.
Oh yeah.
I mean, if you're abused like that as a child, and then you have to live out your life with that, I mean, that's pretty destructive. So is that different than Uganda, what they just passed and everybody is misreporting?
That's the death penalty for homosexuality, right?
No, it's not. It is exactly what you just said. That's why I said it's being misreported. It has what you would call aggravating factors. It has to be aggravated. It's being reported that they're going to kill you just because you're gay. That's not the law. It is if you have, it's like, rape of a minor, rape of an unconscious person, people that can't consent. So that's what will be called like aggravated whatever. That's the legal term, like what you just used in mm-hmm. Florida. So that's but of course our left-wing media has to report it as they're going to kill you just for being gay. Now what I find really interesting about that is that's the way they're having a fit with it, what they falsely report about in Uganda, but they love like Iran, where they do kill you for simply being gay.
Yeah. And they never talk about that.
No. And they never talk about that. I mean, if that doesn't tell you how hypocritical all this is, because yeah, they love Islam and yet they kill you just for simply being gay. And that's not what they're doing in Uganda, but they're all upset about it.
I have a story we may want to consider capital punishment for.
Okay.
Actually, I wouldn't. I just use that as a segue, but I have some... It's terrible. It's awful. But at the same time, I wouldn't do it. But anyway, the story is that a 19-year-old girl gave birth in a New Mexico hospital bathroom. She came in reporting of... complaining of back pains. They tested her and... like her blood test, whatever, and she came back as positive pregnancy. She denied it. She locked herself in the bathroom. She had the baby. She put the baby in the trash can and came out. They, a maid or a cleaning person, went into the bathroom later and thought the trash bag felt heavier than normal. And there was like blood in the back of the bath, in the corner of the bathroom. Found the baby. Had suffocated, the medical examiner found that the baby had suffocated in the trash can, and she has been charged with murder. Now, in New Mexico, abortion is legal up to birth, so if she would have simply an hour earlier gone to an abortion provider instead of to the hospital, she wouldn't face any charges. So do you see a problem there? But also just a terrible story.
Yeah, it's one of those reasons why it points to me why the pro-abortion crowd just screams and yells louder and louder, because their position is clearly indefensible.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, obviously it's a terrible thing. I don't care who you've been influenced by. You know that's terrible, and to do that is terrible. But I can feel a small portion of sympathy for that girl who's being told like crazy things
because
society.
Right. Because New Mexico had been telling her.
Value that life. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And especially how, I mean, she's 19 years old.
She's 19.
I mean, nowadays, yeah. I mean, you know, 50, 70 years ago, 19 was not as young as 19 is now. I mean, it might be the same number of days on a calendar, But socially, it's not the same.
Right.
So
that's true. We've also made her not mature in our societies. Yeah. Hey, on the other end of the spectrum. Oh, not De Niro just had a baby. What's his the? Oh, Al Pacino.
Yeah.
Is 83.
Yeah.
And his 20-something, 27-year-old, 29-year-old girlfriend's expecting.
Yeah.
And apparently he didn't think it was possible for him to get someone pregnant, so he wanted a DNA test, and it really is his kid.
I was wondering about
that. I don't know why you would think it's an 83-year-old, why you would imagine that your 27-year-old girlfriend could be, or 29-year-old girlfriend might be cheating on you, but...
Well, I did not hear that part. I just heard that, you know, his age and that she's expecting.
Right.
I honestly wondered, did she conceive with somebody else and they're just saying it's his because he wants to brag that he's 83 and can still.
No, I heard they've been talking about it a lot on Dan Patrick, actually, like making jokes and stuff. And they were reading something about.
Yeah, I mean, if he took the DNA test.
He did not think that it could be his.
Right.
And he wanted a DNA test. Yeah. Think about it. His oldest kid is like 30-something, which still means he was old when she was born.
Well, I don't know what this. I know
he'll be over 100 years old, or like 100 years old when 101 when they graduate from high school.
102. I doubt that he sees his graduation.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I wonder. I don't know about this. I know that a woman, obviously, as she gets older, her eggs, you know, become less healthy, and there's more problems with
like risks. Yeah, but yeah.
I don't know if that's true with sperm. I don't know how that works.
I imagine if you could keep your hormone like all normal and your levels, I don't know
because
why that'd be an issue.
Sperm is not like because
it generates
right. It's not like eggs.
Yeah, you don't have a set number. Yeah, right. You're always producing more sperm.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. That was I did hear that was. I mean, hey, good for Al. I'm surprised that Al was. I think didn't Al Pacino declare bankruptcy like 10 years ago or something?
Apparently
I just wondered,
it wasn't bad enough for.
I was
going
to say I wondered if he had enough.
Him.
I thought when I first heard that, I was like, he has enough coin to get a 29-year-old girlfriend after being bankrupt? So. There's a movie that nobody ever talks about that was a good movie back in the day. I thought it was pretty.
I don't see anything about
Injustice for All
bankruptcy. I just want to say that. But
okay, so
okay, but anyway,
maybe not. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. That he Al Pacino's in this movie, Injustice for All.
Okay,
I thought it was I used to like that movie. That was like, man, it had to be like early 80s. He's like, have you ever heard like, you're out of order, you're out of order, the court's out of order. He goes, he's a lawyer, he goes off.
Okay, so, but then they were making jokes about how, you know, Robert De Niro just had a kid.
Yeah.
And then like, they're making these jokes about what if you took them and you had like a movie where they're in their 80s and they're living in some like retirement community in Florida. And there's like these two like old retired mobsters with like these beautiful young wives and they're having babies and they're like raising it was so stupid. Yeah.
Well, you could do that one, and then you could also have the movie about women having babies in prison even though they've been incarcerated for 10 years.
No, in an all-female prison.
Yeah, so of course it's all
no
female.
Conjugal visits.
Yeah, all female, right? If you count trans. So, yeah, there's a movie plot for you. So, I have to bring this up. I don't want to wear people out with the Trump talk, but this one really got me. Did you see this where Trump goes off on Kayleigh McEnany? So, Kayleigh McEnany was an amazing press secretary for Donald Trump.
She also wrote a very good book.
So she's on Fox News now, and she was reporting how much he was up on Ron DeSantis. And she used a figure of 25% is where, you know, the polling data that she was looking at was giving. So he goes off on her and calls her his quote is, Kaylee Milquetoast McEnany just gave out the wrong poll numbers on Fox News. And he says, you know, it's 34%, not 25%. So he calls her Kaylee Milquetoast McEnany. First of all, that's stupid. That's just
She's Milquetoast.
No, she's not. She's, are you kidding? She was a firebrand, man, when she was press secretary. I know. Holy moly. So the thing that got me about that is that for all the Trump loyalists who are so committed, he's not loyal, and he demands loyalty. He's not loyal to anyone. If there was somebody that he should stand by or just shut up and not comment on, it'd be somebody like Kaylee McEnany. And not only is it, does he just simply say, you know, she reported this number and the polls I'm looking at are this number. He doesn't just leave it at that. He has to give her a name and rip on her. And then he goes, the quote goes on and says something right. like, he says, you know, Fox should only hire good reporters or something like that. It's just, that makes me just say, I'm out. I mean, so all of you Trump loyalists, he would never be loyal to you. So why give him your unquestioned allegiance?
They would claim that she wasn't.
She wasn't what?
Loyal to him or something. I don't know. Loyal to him? I don't know.
She was outstanding.
I know.
And then he turns right around. Yeah, she ran a lot of interference for that guy and answered the questions in really good, concise, informative ways, in ways that he could never answer because he's not that articulate. And then he turns around and now he comes up with this plan for America. He says, if I'm elected, you know, if I'm president, when America has her 250th birthday in 2026, here's what I'm going to do. And it's fabulous. It's a fabulous plan.
That was pretty good, yeah.
That might do more to restore America than anything I can think of. So it just drives me crazy. This drives me crazy. He wants to have like a year's long of celebrations to honor America. Yeah. He wants this, what is it, Garden of Heroes to have like 100 statues of great Americans.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just like putting it back in all the idiots who want to tear down statues of American, you know, American mm-hmm. history and all these kinds of things and have, you know, like a big state fair, you know, have mm-hmm. state fair,
well,
like
some
national.
Fair, and there's like, there's areas for like each state has some sort of.
Right. I mean,
thing. Yeah,
it's a great idea. And whoever, if he doesn't get elected president, if a Republican
someone
does, they need to take that idea. Yes, absolutely. It would do a tremendous amount to restore America. And like where I said, I think like we're making some headway. I see where a judge just overruled against this some DEI program, said no, that's not kosher. You can't do DEI. So, you know, that obviously was about hiring and as opposed to based on somebody's skin color or whatever or orientation as opposed to just being a good at your job. So that was a victory. And you start and you see the stuff with, you know, Target and the Dodgers and Bud Light and all this kind of stuff. However, my big concern, though, more than that is the judiciary. If the legal system in this country with the judges and stuff is garbage to where they're not ruling based on law and following the Constitution, then I'm not sure how far the social, you know, the social stuff can go. And we're definitely looking at a really messed up, our judicial system. We don't have a Department of Justice anymore. I don't know what you want to call it, but it's not a Department of Justice.
Cade would have a really good line right now.
You see, I saw the story and I read it last night on the Washington Examiner. The story where it looks, Congress has been calling for this. It's like a 5 or 6 page report the FBI has that shows that Biden has received like $5 million.
Yeah.
You know. And they've been denying. Well, basically, it's come out that it definitely exists, but they don't want to turn it over to Congress. And but it also is that it's from it's from a very reputable source, the whistleblower is. And so therefore the FBI, you know, really they can't let it out, because it's not only is it there, it's this person who apparently is whistleblowing. Everybody's going to say, oh yeah, we trust that person. And so, where's the justice in that? This is our law. This is our national law enforcement agency, not following, you know, Congress's demand. They've rejected, Chris Wray has rejected the subpoena. I mean, so where's, and you know that Merrick Garland's not going to make him give it over. So what kind of justice system do we have?
None. What justice system?
Yeah.
Okay, this is kind of old, but we haven't talked about it. And I want to know why you have such opinions about this. A second gunman killed John Lennon.
Well, this isn't mine. This is a story out of Britain. This British actor is producing this. But this was what he had said, that Mark David Chapman, who was the person who was convicted of killing John Lennon, shooting him in the back, parts of his theory is the distance that he shot from, which is entered into the court records, was pretty far away. And I'm pretty sure he thought it shot him with a 38 special, which you're not shooting somebody with a nice tight grouping from very far away.
No.
So that's one thing that was problematic. He said it was like, you know, an expert marksman. And not only that, he said that, there's evidence that he had bullet wounds in the front, in his chest. And, you know, it was a really nice, tight grouping. And
right.
So
now that seems like it would be very obvious to any person who knows what they're doing, looking at the body, which would scream cover. And we know the story of the guy, of this Mark David Chapman, like, lunatic. So what would be the story of a,
but also he had, because he was, I guess, crazy. The question is, was he crazy first or crazy after, that he had an association with, a known, like, CIA psychotherapist, and this person, the psychotherapist, once commented that he could brainwash somebody in 3 months, okay, and he could turn him into a murderer in 6 months.
Right. So this guy's crazy, and all he has to do is plant that John Lennon is, you know,
connected
to all this going on in his head.
So,
and then they have a second person there to finish the job when the crazy guy's going to do it.
Yeah, but
and they doubt his ability to finish the job, so they have someone there to finish it.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the thing though that you have to account for with that is that Yoko Ono was with him, so she never disputed that Mark David Chapman was the one who shot John Lennon. So she's in fear for her life.
People in trauma situations like that, traumatic situations.
Right.
See all kinds of things, and especially like right after, if you told them here's what just happened, right, they're probably just like, yeah, and block out whatever else.
Yeah, my issue on that was, if I'm the gunman who's going to shoot from the front, let's say I'm the CIA hitman from the front, I do not want to be standing on the other side of
no
John Lennon,
the guy that
when Mark
have,
Chapman, who I don't trust his aim, is shooting in my direction from behind John Lennon.
Yeah. True. So we have a lot of holes in this conspiracy
theory.
Yeah,
so there is that.
But who doesn't love a good conspiracy theory?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I hear a lot more people questioning the moon landing these days.
Oh, I know.
That's crazy. Here's one that struck me. I listened to a Whitney Webb's latest podcast. I think it's called Unlimited Hangout. If you like podcasts and you've never listened to Whitney Webb, you need to, first of all, you just go on YouTube and type in her name, and you're going to get gazillions, because everybody wants to interview this woman.
Unless you care about your mental well-being.
Yes.
It's not the most
cheerful. However horrific you think this country is being run by the most horrific conspirators. It's way worse when you listen to her.
She's worse than listening to Glenn Beck.
Yes.
And Glenn Beck,
yes,
you think is a fatalist.
He's good time Charlie compared to compared to her. But it's not that she's down on it. It's just that she connects all these dots that nobody else has connected before. That's what it, you get. She's not depressing you. You're gleaning the information and getting depressed from listening to the information. But she was interviewing a woman who's been doing research on this about all the money that's going into Ukraine to rebuild it. Okay. Now, as I was listening to her, because this is currently going on now, where there's all these investment, private investment and stuff. It's not just us sending them, you know, so far like $220 billion. It's all these other companies and organizations and NGOs and fund managers and stuff that are investing money into Ukraine currently in a rebuilding process. Can I tell you something? That's when it clicked on me. This is not a legitimate war. This is not a legitimate war. You do not rebuild a country while the war is going on and you don't know what the outcome is. Hello?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that people are not getting shot and killed. I'm saying this is not a war as we have had reasons for wars and the way they have been conducted in the past. This is not a war in what we've always known a war to be. What the causes were and how they play out, and that's not what this is.
So what
it
is
can't,
it?
I don't know. It's a big, it is a power grab. It is laundering,
money laundering
scheme. It is about gaining control, because the more crisis there are in the world, the more governments can control things. It's all done. We have to reshape this and we have to reorganize that and we have to change how we do over here. So it's all about, in fact, I've heard some people start to actually say, this is the Great Reset War.
Why is Russia in on it?
Russia, other than the casualties they've taken financially, is far better off now than they were before the war. That's with the Nord Stream 2 pipeline being blown up.
So I'm with you on it's a money laundering scheme. But on your Great Reset War, and Russia might be profiting on it, but they don't want a new world order, do they? Putin wants to be in control.
But they don't have to participate. Who is he aligning with? He is aligning with the nation as becoming the most powerful nation in the world. China. So
he thinks that they're going to go against the... He's playing the game of the fake war. If this is what's happening.
I can't explain it to you. I just know this. This is not how wars are. You don't rebuild countries, especially private investment money in war, in nations that are middle of a war.
Right, because you know it's...
You don't know if they're going to win.
If it's a real war, exactly. You would
Ukraine
never
could be Russia's. Could be Russia
in
tomorrow.
An unstable situation.
Exactly. And
why
that's
do you think
one
that's
thing that they
the
always
stock
talk
market
about.
Like falls every time that there's a hint that something is unstable.
Right. And what does Larry Fink, one of the things he's famous for saying, if there's one thing the markets like, it's stability. That's why they like totalitarian governments. And he's the head of BlackRock.
Get ready for some stability.
So.
Oh, BlackRock is on this campaign to, in the face of all the truth coming out about them and people not liking them, they're putting off these ads about these people. They're saying that they invest in their like retirement plans or whatever,
yeah,
and how they're and then it's all this like caring, like BlackRock investing in the future of, and then it'll like have the little tick bar that goes around, so it tries to hit all these groups of people, like, you know, they care for you and they're investing in your future, and then it's like BlackRock, and I'm like, oh, I'm like seething.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think those commercials were on CNN, if I remember correctly.
I don't know
at which TV they were at the gym.
I don't know if it's BlackRock, if it was BlackRock, if it was one of the other fund managements, State Street or somebody, that they actually are being sued over their fiduciary responsibility, meaning that they have a responsibility that they do the best job possible to maximize your investment.
Right.
And right. DEI and ESG and all that is not the best way to go about doing it.
Now, aren't there two distinctions of company, like, or people who you can invest with, and one set of them has a fiduciary responsibility?
Yes.
And there's another set, there's another classification where they don't have the same.
Yes. But it's my understanding that those funds do have, but when you just to go out and, yeah. and invest with certain, like, individuals, use different, like, right. your local financial manager, based on what their licensing is and stuff, right, some right. have fiduciary okay. responsibilities yes. and some don't.
Yep. Well, not a sponsorship, but invest with Constitution Wealth, even though I don't invest with But check it out. Look into it.
Who are they? I haven't heard that.
Supposedly, I sent you the link once. Oh. I heard them they on another podcast that they actually sponsored.
Hmm.
And supposedly, they, you know, they have the same beliefs as you, and they invest your money with that in mind. So it says their front page is, financial decisions should be influenced by personal convictions, passions, and values. We understand that when you invest with your core values, you benefit both financially and personally. That's why at Constitution Wealth, we align your money with your values.
Cool. That I mean, I'm all for that. I don't want to invest with somebody I'm not going to say they have to be perfectly aligned with my values, but I don't want them to be blatantly opposed to my values. The bottom right. line is I want to get a return on my investment. That's your job. And that's your fiduciary responsibility. And these, and ESG and DEI and all that is not following that. It's not doing that.
Your chickens laying eggs yet?
No, my chickens are looking good though. They look really, they've grown tremendously. I mean, they look almost like full grown chickens now. No, they're still like 3 months away from laying eggs.
Is the chicken whisperer going to house it?
Yeah.
The chickens?
Yeah. But here's the thing that I was thinking is, like, in another, if I just bought these for meat, they'd be getting axed in another 2 weeks. I'd have chicken to eat.
Oh,
where now I'm still like 3 weeks away, three months away from getting an egg.
That's why you got
to
get.
I need to get two different
kinds of chickens.
Yeah. I need to have some for eggs and some for meat, for butchery.
Then you're going to need a rooster in the mix here, too.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Maybe I can borrow a rooster for a couple of weeks and get some eggs.
Can you rent a rooster?
Sure.
Yeah.
Somebody might even be nice enough
to... People pay for breeding.
Yeah. Yeah, this is...
Like other animals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't a bull or a horse for going to win the Kentucky Derby. Just need a couple of chickens.
My purebred chickens.
These chickens. Well, actually, that's one thing that's really interesting. This, I don't know if there is such a thing as purebred, because I have Black Sex Link, and they are like a mix of all kinds of chickens to get this good egg laying and yet, you know, healthy and consistent.
So you don't really want a purebred. You want an egg. Yeah.
I want an egg
machine.
You want
the best egg laying chicken.
Yeah, exactly.
I want an egg machine.
Yep. Yep, exactly. So they're out of the coop though now. I put the ramp down, and they come out and they run around in the chicken run and the grass. And when they first started though coming out, they were still a little bit younger and they hadn't been out yet. And then I'd have to like get down on the ground and crawl underneath the coop and get them out to put them back in, because they weren't very cooperative. So anyways, I got to go, man.
Okay.